About 7 months ago, a group of A-list celebrities assembled at a crypto conference in the Bahamas. There was star quarterback Tom Brady, supermodel Gisele Bündchen, two former world leaders, Bill Clinton and Tony Blair, also pop singer Katy Perry. But one of the biggest celebrities at the conference wasn't a household name. He was an unassuming guy with frizzy hair, wearing a rumpled T-shirt and shorts. His name? Sam Bankman-Fried.
Wait, we don't have Sam up here.
Sam, where are you?
Sam, where are you?
There you are.
Sam Bankman-Fried is the founder of the cryptocurrency exchange FTX, which is based in the Bahamas. And over the past few years, he'd made himself not just the face of his company, but the face of crypto.
So Sam Bankman-Fried was a superstar, but he was more than that. In some ways, he was a pioneer. He was a face of this emerging industry, and he was their best hope, too.
That's our colleague Greg Zuckerman. He says that Bankman-Fried came across as a crypto billionaire the world could get behind. For people who were skeptical of this emerging industry, he was an effective ambassador. And he talked a lot about using his wealth for good. Here he is on a popular YouTube series.
The amount of good that you can do for the future of the world is really large, and it's way more than you can do to actually make yourself happy with anything.
But last week, that vision of a crypto good guy evaporated. Bankman-Fried's company, FTX, has filed for bankruptcy. In its filing, it said it has been contacted by the Justice Department, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and dozens of other agencies.
So my career is filled with spectacular rises and even more spectacular and embarrassing often falls. But this is frankly one that I think breaks some records in its speed, the pain, the amount of money lost. It's unique.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Wednesday, November 16th. Coming up on the show, the fall of crypto's golden boy, Sam Bankman-Fried.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
When you talk about Sam Bankman-Fried, do you call him SBF?
He's described as SBF in the industry, but internally they call him Sam. So
what are we going to call him?
Yeah, let's call him SBF because that's how the industry calls him.
Okay, so describe SBF for us. What's his vibe?
SBF is very charismatic. He is super smart. He's thoughtful. He's got a vision of where the industry is going or was going to be going. There are reasons to like him a lot. He's not materialistic, it seems like. He was friendly. He wore shorts. He wore T-shirts. He sometimes didn't wear shoes. It wasn't a bad face for this emerging industry.
SBF came across as authentically himself. He also came across as someone who wanted to do good in the world. As an undergrad at MIT, he encountered a movement called effective altruism.
The idea is, why do charity now? Why even work for a nonprofit with your career? It's better. The benefit for mankind is such that it's better that these people make a ton of money, fortunes, so that it can be given away later on.
This approach has a name, earning to give. And SBF was a believer in it. Here he is in an interview with Forbes earlier this year.
In the end, my goal is to
do as much good as I can for the world. I'm part of an effective altruism community, which basically it's a group of people looking to try and figure out if you want to maximize the amount of good you do, maximize the positive impact that you can have on the world. What does that imply? What does that mean you should do with your life?
What he decided to do with his life was go to Wall Street to maximize his impact by making a lot of money and then theoretically giving it all away. So after college, he joined a firm called Jane Street Capital.
Jane Street is a quant trading firm on Wall Street, not well known to the average investor, even to, frankly, to the professional on Wall Street. But in the quantitative trading world, where people build models, build algorithms to try to figure out where the market's going, patterns in the market, etc., they're very well respected.
But SBF wouldn't stay at Jane Street for very long. He got interested in crypto, where he could potentially make even more money than on Wall Street.
The EA people, the effective altruism people, they were the ones who were more bullish on crypto and the future of digital currencies, and he became in that orbit.
SBF spotted an opportunity. The prices of some cryptocurrencies in Asia were different than they were in the U.S. So he could buy crypto cheaply in one part of the world, sell it higher in another, and make a profit. In 2017, SBF founded a company called Alameda Research to make these and other crypto trades. And then 2 years later, he expanded and founded his crypto exchange, FTX, an abbreviation for Futures Exchange.
And for a while, it was very well respected. They got customers at a fast rate. It wasn't the biggest exchange, but it was a fast-growing exchange. And he set out to raise money for the effort.
So tell us about that fundraising effort. How did it go?
Well, first what happened was he starts meeting with big-name investors. The pedigrees are impressive. The track records of these guys are. We're talking about Silicon Valley and elsewhere. And he's got this sort of attitude, a self-confidence, insouciance even, where he goes into these meetings wearing kind of ratty t-shirts, shorts, flip-flops, not really seeming to care so much about raising money, serious amounts of money. And in meeting after meeting, he impressed the hell out of these investors.
Take, for example, a pitch SBF made to investors at Sequoia Capital. Here's how the company told the story in an article on its website. It was 2020. SBF was talking to Sequoia on a video call to pitch them on his company. And the Zoom chat on the Sequoia side lit up.
One of the executives, senior executives, investment executives of Sequoia says, "I'm a 10 out of 10. The other one says, "I love this founder." And the funny thing is, while they're going back and forth and while SBF is making this pitch, he's playing a video game.
And did Sequoia know it?
No. Sequoia had no idea that he's playing some furious game of League of Legends while he's making this pitch.
Regardless, they still invested. And he got other major investors on board, too. In the last funding round in January of this year, FTX was valued at $32 billion. But if FTX was going to succeed, Bankman-Fried needed more than just investors. How did SBF attract customers to his exchange, FTX?
You know, to their credit, they built a really good platform that impressed people. The technology, the speed, it seemed safe to some people, to many people. They were doing things like spending money on rights to stadiums like the Miami Heat. They were taking out ads.
Some of those ads featured SBF himself. This summer, he appeared in FTX ads in magazines like Vogue and The New Yorker, still with his trademark frizzy hair and hoodie. The company joked that he was making his modeling debut. So he's charmed investors, he's charmed customers. Then he goes to D.C. to try out his charm on lawmakers, tell us about his time on Capitol Hill and what he wanted there.
Yes. So he became a presence on Capitol Hill in the world of debate about regulation in the crypto world. And his argument in the companies was that there should be more regulation and more transparency. Ironic, frankly, when you look back on it.
In February, he swapped his rumpled T-shirt for a suit and traveled to the Hill to testify before Congress.
Mr. Bankman-Fried, is it reckless for crypto companies to get rich by selling Americans such a dangerous, risky product?
Thank you, Senator Brown, for the question. I think what this highlights is the need for federal oversight of the cryptocurrency industry.
The diplomatic push seemed to work. A Senate committee was working on a bipartisan crypto bill crafted with FTX's input. But some people weren't thrilled with SBF's calls for regulation.
Why were his efforts in Washington making him enemies in the crypto ecosystem?
Well, there are some who just believe in this ethos of self-sufficiency, who don't want meddling from regulators and others. And they believe that's the whole reason why crypto has taken off. Others thought that maybe FTX and SBF were embracing regulation out of self-interest. So at just the wrong time, you could argue he was making enemies.
And those damaged relationships with the crypto industry would come back to bite him. That's coming up.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
While SBF was out hobnobbing and becoming crypto famous, he was also alienating others in the industry. One person in particular, Chengpeng Zhao, the founder of a rival crypto exchange, Binance. Last week, Zhao shook confidence in FTX when he announced his company would sell its stash of FTX's crypto token. Zhao said the move was for, quote, risk management purposes. And that move helped set off what would become a run on FTX.
Breaking news on Binance and FTX.
Bankman-Fried told investors that FTX is facing a shortfall of up to $8 billion from withdrawal requests and needs emergency funding.
FTX fell to pieces this week after a three-day binge on deposits.
But then another revelation came out. FTX had lent about $10 billion of its customers' money to Alameda Research, Bankman-Fried's other company. And Alameda had seemingly lost that money in risky trades. An FTX spokesperson declined to comment. SBF and other top executives knew about the movement of customer funds, according to people familiar with the matter.
Why is it such a hard line? Why is it such a no-no to use customers' money like this?
Well, for one thing, customers have trusted you with that cash. When we give our money to our banks, we don't really think about it often. It doesn't cross our mind, but they're taking their money and they're doing things with it. They're investing it. They're lending it, obviously. But you know, there's FDIC insurance for banks, and there is nothing like that in the crypto world. So entrusting your money with a crypto exchange and then seeing that exchange use that cash elsewhere is a huge no-no.
And was this the scales fall from the eyes moment for a lot of SBF supporters?
Yeah, it's been shocking and even heartbreaking for the supporters, for the employees. I mean, employees were on board with this mission. They really believed they had a mission to make a lot of money, and then many of them wanted to give it away. They were developing a new financial system even, and a lot of them took their salaries in FTX shares in this coin. They had their own coin called FTT. They bought shares. There was this program last year where they got discounted opportunities to invest in FTX. They were not only just believers in crypto and digital currencies, they were believers in their own company. And it's been heartbreaking. They haven't been able to get information. They thought they were doing the right thing by their own clients. They have customers they're dealing with. And they not only can they not get money for their customers, they can't give them answers about where their money is. And they've dedicated their careers to FTX. So we've talked to these employees, the staffers, senior members, and others. And it's beyond frustrating. It's really, truly heartbreaking for them.
Last Friday, SBF resigned as the CEO of FTX, and the company filed for bankruptcy. As for the crypto bill SBF was backing in Washington, there were tentative plans to work on that bill this week. Those plans are now on hold, according to people familiar with the matter. As for the money FTX customers lost, SBF has tweeted that his goal is to make customers whole. But so far, he's $8 billion short.
The fact that SBF was one of the kind of foremost ambassadors for crypto, he was like the face of this industry. What does his implosion mean for crypto more generally?
Kate, I have to say it means a lot. If SBF and FTX can go down so quickly and investors are left potentially holding the bag, then it's not clear who you can trust in the world of crypto. There already is a lack of transparency, and now there's a question of just reliability, of trust. Who can you trust? It's not clear there is anyone.
That's all for today, Wednesday, November 16th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Vicky Gehuang, Dave Michaels, Alexander Osipovich, Caitlin Ostroff, and Paul Kiernan. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.